right, hi.
Welcome back. Hello, Jay. How are you?
I feel pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. We're back again.
We are. And
more idioms.
And phrases.
And phrases.
Etymological surveys. Is that a thing?
Sure. Yeah. Like, what's your favorite idiom and what, yeah, why not? People can survey. What do you think? We survey every day.
Yeah,
what do you think
it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something.
Yeah.
It's weird that for our umbrella this week, it's the umbrella's what?
Dudes. We have in the email.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, dude itself could be sort of one, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're not just named. They're like guy. I don't know. Different kinds of guy. And the names you'd call a guy.
Kinds of folk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You know, as we do, it'll become clearer as we say them, I'm sure.
And I'll tell you another thing.
What's that?
In one of mine.
Yeah.
It's not even that. Like, it really? Ends up, it's not really that at all.
Nice.
But that's a story for another time, which is really pretty soon.
But that's a story for pretty soon. Is that time now? Or
do you want to start?
Now?
What are you doing?
I'm fine. I could start us off.
Ha ha ha. Yeah. What do you got?
I have Scalawag.
Scalawag.
Which?
Scallywag?
Well, that's, you know, sure. Well, I'll grant those. Scallywag, Scalawag. Yes. Let's say yes.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that it's like, it's not really a word anyway, so it's whatever you like.
Yeah, we use them both ways. But I think generally scallywag is probably what it has become, right? Because you, like you said, you haven't heard scallywag.
Never said it. I guess I've heard it.
I guess technically it is scallywag then. And then we say scallywag.
And so I couldn't even say, I'm going to just guess by how it sounds.
Sure.
It's like it's going to be some sort of like you're being a mischievous prankster. I'm going to call you a scallywag. Get out of here, you dang scallywag.
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
All right.
We get there. But yeah, it's a what we use. It's commonly referred like in I guess nowadays as the pirates. You know, it's in a pirate language. We hear it a lot in the movies. Like we talk about with the Pirates of the Caribbean, that's the one. We can never remember the name.
No, with Keith Richards.
With Keith Richards. but it's a piratey term, I guess you could say. You scallywag, you old sea dog, kind of a way. But it kind of just means a disreputable fellow, I guess, in general. Not specifically pirates, you know what I mean?
Disreputable.
That's one of the definitions I found. There's also a definition that related to what we did earlier when I did Carpetbagger, which was the scallywags were also...
it was political.
Yeah, they're anti-Confederate white Southerners who supported abolitionists and Reconstruction and stuff like that. So they were technically, you know, considered traitors to the South, Southerners that didn't want slaves, things like that. Is also a pathway that we follow with this word.
Holy tamale.
Yeah, interesting. I know. But like a lot of our origins, they're somewhat unclear. I came across a theory that, I don't know, seems really interesting and kind of direct, honestly. There is a town in Scotland, Scalloway, in Scotland's Shetland Islands, which... are famous for those ponies, the Shetland ponies, right?
Yeah. I just hear Sean Connery talking about this now. Go ahead.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, this sounds like something he should tell me.
I really should try. I should have tried harder. I should. You're right. But I'm not. I'm too nervous now.
No, that's all right.
I'm all a flutter. But these Shetland Islands were, you know, inhabited by farmers and other rustic folk. Who were sometimes called Scallags, Scallags.
Uh-huh. What era are we speaking?
This is going to be before they get... So before 1800s, we're like 1550s. We're 1600s. Oh, yeah.
We're back there.
Yeah. I want to say like 16, 1700s.
Right.
And I apologize. I didn't have a specific date.
Sorry.
These, like I said, these islands were also home to those, the ponies, the Shetland ponies, horses, yeah, which, if you're not familiar with them, are kind of pygmy horses, right? Are you familiar with them?
They have like fringy manes.
Yeah, and they're furry.
Yeah,
for lack of a better, but they're also small.
Okay, yeah.
These islands. It sounds like that they were used. Like the people would dump what were considered useless animals on these islands as well. So runty horses and, you know, cattle and goats that were deemed unfit for, you know, use on a farm or consumption, things like that.
Uh-huh.
They brought them to this island. Right. but as you alluded to earlier, the wag, you said you might call someone a scallywag, meaning you rascal, you joker.
I think.
Right. The term wag does have that meaning from about 1550s, meaning, like you said, rascal, basically. So some folk thought that perhaps the term scallig, this term referring to these farmers, these rustics folks of the Scalloway Islands, and wag kind of blended as the Scottish farm laborers basically came to America in New York via New York ways, where scallywag is an American idiom. It did originate on the soil over here. I kept looking through this thing, and as you know, you go back on the newspaper clippings and you see stuff, and I saw some reports of this is July 16th, 1857, the New York Herald Tribune cattle market report. The whole system is as rotten as some of the livers of scallywag cattle. The scallywag butchers sell scallywag people to eat for food. They swell a list of weekly deaths. It is cheat all around from the farmer to consumer. So these are reports talking about inferior cuts of meat by butchers from this area to hit. I mean, right? Like, this is what I'm seeing. Like, it's a pejorative term. Like, they're actually referring to the cattle as inferior and the butchers as inferior and the people, right? I mean, are you...
So... But so the animals that were unwanted and left on this island,
right,
over there, where the scallies or the wags, the scallags were, they then, so those animals would have been considered inferior. And so then that makes the jump to America, where then just inferior animal flesh is called inferior scallywagatory.
This is all informationally assumptioned, but yes, essentially that's what I'm
trying to make sure I have the path,
that's what I'm driving right towards. There's, again, like we said, no one knows for real, but these things kept popping up in these like cattle market reports in these early New York papers, where it seems like some of the founding members of these towns were immigrants from this Scottish place.
Yeah.
So
they bring their stuff with them.
Again, no one is saying
people bring.
Yes, but hey, it seems, again, like we do. I know we jump to conclusion, Matt, all the time, but like this one, like this is fascinating. This really is like a lineage of yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes this from the cattle or this, the, you know, the bad meats to people to meaning just rascally person. And then, like I said, after the Civil War, it becomes a pejorative term for the anti-Confederate white Southerners. And the reasoning that they give for this is because they form trade unions. And I'm not sure, I'm assuming that this relates all the way back to then the farmers and the meat markets again in New York. But I'm not sure. I didn't see that link specifically. So that one didn't seem like a strong, but I mean, I didn't specifically see it.
Okay.
But then... it started that way, then it became more of a scallywag, a wag, as in changing sides, like how dare you people betray, you know, the white Southerners, other white Southerners, to be pro-abolitionist. And then, as time went on more so, it just fades into becoming just more of the rascally words, like you said. And then to the pirate sense. I feel like it's kind of settled in right there right now anyway.
This is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's not really modern day. That is a modern day reflection on the past, right? In a pirate movie.
True.
It's not Captain Phillips. This is
no, like, right. These are modern day pirates, right? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, correct.
Huh.
Yeah, but this goes officially as origins uncertain. But there's information that was fascinating to me. It seems like it comes from Scalloway, Scotland.
It's got to. Wow. And then it just got here. And then once people get a word.
Sure, it's fun.
Man, they're
plus,
gonna
that word's fun to say.
Kick it around.
Right. You
reapply
test it, out.
It to something else. It sleeps for a generation and then wakes back up as something different.
Yeah, right. You know of it, you hear it, and then you come back to it later with some other meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like a sailing ship out there called the Official, and then it's like the word fish is in there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I was just thinking about that.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Oh, yeah. So that's good.
Yeah. Scalawag. What do you have?
I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Although this is odd, in a way to me, I have the word jerkwater. And I don't really use this word, although I think maybe I heard it somewhere and then put it in my brain and maybe in funning around called somebody a jerkwater.
It sounds like a good like 1950s. Listen here, jerkwater. I don't know. No?
Yeah, maybe it's like jackwagon. You know, and so it's sort of in that.
There are certain words I've only heard you use.
Well, jackwagon, yeah, somebody used it to great advantage in a television commercial.
Okay.
or something in the last decade that I think nice. That brought it into to my familiarity.
I miss that. I mean, I know I've heard you say it.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable.
Sure, jackwagon.
It. Yeah, it's fun to
it's
say.
It's a fine word.
It's a fine word.
So jerkwater.
Yeah, jerkwater.
This is something else altogether.
Yeah.
Although it spreads its love around. So its general definition would be a sort of a backwoodsy hick town or rural area.
Oh, like Jerkwater Burg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although there are other uses and other definitions, that's its real basic general overreaching definition.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So I see it, 1869, a first use, and now, you know how I am, like if you, like I just have that disease, that affliction. So now I know that a magazine in the 1860s in California existed called the Overland Monthly.
Nice.
I need, some copies of that. So.
Did you find some?
No, not yet, wow. But I'm fixing to find some.
Nice.
So March 1869, we find it in this periodical, and it's a reference to Jerkwater stages making the trip by donkey or oxen, you know.
Yeah.
The way they have a little quote is, it's basically like, it's a trip that I could have made with my oxen and mules in like a day, but it took me 3 days because I had to go through like these jerkwater areas.
Okay.
That's what they're kind of saying.
All right.
My eyes get beat up looking at those old newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And you scan and you scan and you scan. The oldest one I found was 1890 in the Daily Argus, referring to a small jerkwater railroad. That's an Indiana newspaper, I think.
And we just know this means.
Well, we're gonna figure it out.
Okay.
Here. Slang uses of it are they're prevalent. Jerkwater hotels, jerkwater country, jerkwater cow college, jerkwater paper. Even
that's
like what in the but anything that you have your mind made up on, sort of suggesting that it's backwoodsy or
somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be looked down upon.
Yeah, even half derriere-y.
Dairy like, area.
Yeah, dairy area. Yeah, I just cracked myself up last month. I drove through out east of here. There's a town called Dairy.
Yes.
And I cracked myself up.
Driving through the dairy area.
Yeah, dairy. No, I said to myself, breathe the dairy air. Yeah, that's funny.
Yes.
But I digress.
Yes.
Here's where being serious, where it really gets good. Now,
now we're into the real stuff.
No.
All right.
Yeah. You know, water isn't always clean, you know?
Sure.
Because, you know, people and stuff.
We need it for many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so down in Louisiana, Delta area, people began trying to like kill germs and stuff in the water early on by putting in peppers and spicy things.
Okay.
And you've heard of jerk chicken.
Yeah.
So this is, it's jerk water.
Don't do that to me. Come on. Come on, because you know I'm going to believe it. Don't do
I
that.
I was counting on you to bust
me. I was going
to.
I'm no. No.
Okay, yeah, that's a lie.
Oh, man, but that's, I was going to, I was there.
It's funny.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dang it.
I know.
I was there. I was going to do it. I was ready. I'm like, right. No,
I'm serious now. Actually, for real this time. So here's the popular definition of it, which is, so you had a steam trains went through these across the country, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I never thought about it before because it wasn't really a problem for me. So I didn't have a problem to solve, and it wasn't in my world.
Sure.
So I never learned about it, okay. You know? But if you had a steam train, it burns a lot of water and coal, I guess. The coal I often thought about. You'd know people had to shovel coal to keep these engines burning, right?
Yeah.
To heat up the water for the steam. I mean, I guess some of them were even powered with wood. You just got to keep the water boiling.
Yeah.
But that means you also need water, lots and lots of water. And so what they used to have, apparently, when you'd pull into a train stop in a decent-sized town, they'd have a water tower.
Mm-hmm.
And in some places in cold weather, in the winter, they'd have to keep those water towers heated so they didn't freeze.
Yeah.
But that was just a little aside, you know?
Sure.
And they'd have to fill the tanks of the train, and then the train would have enough water, it would move on,
mm-hmm.
like the next town or a few towns, maybe it would need more water. So, but then you'd go through stretches where you didn't have a significant town with a water tank.
Yeah.
And you were a little hosed.
Okay.
Uh-huh, see what I mean? You were a little, so.
Yeah.
A popular definition, and I'm going to circle back to this because this ends up being not really true, but not really untrue.
Yeah.
It was that there were, you'd have to stop the train where you'd find a creek,
mm-hmm.
and then guys working the train would get off with buckets.
Yeah.
And they'd hoist up these buckets, jerk the water up, you know. And a lot of trains clearly had a big leather bucket on a long rope.
Yeah.
And that they might even just like toss it off and drag some water up.
Yeah.
Again, jerking the water into the place. And that meant, I mean, you know, that related to the town is small and rural and can't even build us a damn water tower.
Yeah, the train station. Wow.
So we have to jerk our water into the train.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's nice.
Yeah, it is. But it gets a tiny bit better.
Okay.
Or weirder.
All right.
And here again, and we'll include a link to this if that's this YouTube video, so you could see this. Well, the first steam train was invented in 1802. So you get this problem right away. You're gonna traverse the country.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the big long stretches crossing the country, you know, happened sort of mid 18th century. So maybe you had shorter stops, especially if you're on the East Coast or something, going up and down, you hit towns all mm-hmm. the time. But once you started taking long stretches, man, you'd run out of water.
Yeah.
So they designed this system, and someone transferred a film from 1905, which I will include the link to,
yeah,
that in the middle of the tracks was this trough. And then the trough ran for miles in the middle of the tracks.
Okay.
And they would fill that somehow regularly and constantly, like some water tower somewhere on the far end would fill this miles and miles long trough of water. And then they designed this sort of scoop. And so it took a very skilled person to navigate this, lower the scoop down, and suck this water in while the train is moving out of these little troughs filled with water.
Whoa.
And you fill your tender, they're called, with water that way. And most reference material that I found from true railroad people were focused on this, saying, yeah, this is a scoop system, but it was called jerking the water in. And I'm like, God.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe it was.
Yeah.
But if I had a steam engine in the early, early days of steam enginery, the first trip out, I'm going to run out of steam.
Yeah.
Literally. Hey.
That's where it comes from.
And I'm going to take a bucket with me next time with a rope. And I'm going to jerk some water in. Like, it had to be both of those things. I mean, there was plenty of arguments made about you couldn't, it wasn't practical to have the people stopping, and you only had 10 guys working on an average train. How are they going to get hundreds of gallons of water? I'm saying it was the 1800s.
Did the trough exist, though? I mean, didn't they have to do something before that trough existed?
Right. So, didn't they have to do... And the trough was only on certain railroad lines.
Yeah.
And so you had to have a special car to suck it in.
Yeah.
So I think jerking water in by buckets is impractical and is tedious and slow, because a lot of the old railroads I read about that were called jerkwater legs of the track, they often complained about they have no schedule. The train gets there when it gets there. Mm-hmm. And that's what would happen if you had to stop the train.
You had to stop your water.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I like that too. And if it evolved into the water scooper thing,
sure,
just because railroad guys just pass terminology along, and then the water scooper fell out of need when the steam engine fell out of you had the diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that one is interesting.
Jerk water,
that is rich with lore
and other stuff.
Yeah, nice.
You know what else is rich with lore?
What's that?
Our adverts.
So seamless.
Yeah.
Support Whole Nine Yards and make your life easier with Instacart. Online grocery shopping made simple. Instacart connects you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores in a single order. Products you love from local stores, hand-selected based on your preferences. Many items may be delivered in as little as an hour. Instacart helps to save you money on your favorite items and recommends new products that you might also love. Instacart, the most convenient way to shop. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo, and purchase tour tickets for the museum at clementemuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's clementemuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
And there's that.
Yeah, always.
Uh-huh.
Forever.
No jerkwater stuff here.
No, that's awesome. We were talking about it as we broke for the ad break still, because I was still fascinated.
That train with and the we'll post those trough videos. Of yeah. water.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good eating right there.
Yes.
So dudes yeah. or what have
or
you.
Or apparently villages.
Yeah.
My next one is fuddy-duddy, which is fun to say.
Yeah.
Which I have writ a list of definitions. A square. A stuffy person. One who is fussy while old-fashioned. Traditionalist. Conformist. Or conservative.
Yeah. Though, I mean, they're all the same thing. Yeah. And a square in square. Terms of, let's not be L7.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was mine. That was my contribution to the definition list.
Oh, there you go.
I was like, yeah, it's a square. Because that's where I started, you know. You know, then you look it up. But yeah, generally, I think, you know, he's an old fuddy-duddy. You throw the word old in.
Yeah.
When you use it.
No, sure.
But I don't use it. Not that I'm sure I've used it as a younger fellow, as a kid.
Yeah.
But I don't find myself saying fuddy-duddy that often.
No.
You agree that you don't also use this word then?
I don't use that word, no.
That's cool. The earliest Google book match I could find was Ambrose Bierce, The Haunted Valley from July 1871. The Overland Monthly from San Francisco.
Overland Monthly?
From San Francisco, California.
Wait, yeah, that's...
That's the thing.
That's it.
That's the thing.
Overland Monthly.
We referenced the same magazine.
Holy crap.
That is the earliest known written use.
I got to get on eBay after this record before all of our listeners buy them up.
Gee up there, old fuddy-duddy.
Yeah.
This unique adjuration came from the lips of a queer little man perched atop a little wagon full of firewood behind a brace of fat oxen who were hauling it easily along. Well, it's with a simulation of Herculean effort that had evidently not imposed upon their driver. It's a long quote.
Ooh, it is.
But he goes on to say fuddy-duddy again, and he's saying he's not sure if the driver is referencing the narrator or his oxen. If the oxen are named Fuddy and Duddy, or if he's calling, you know. It keeps on going. I don't want to read the whole thing.
You said herd. Two doesn't a herd, right?
I did say herd. Mm-hmm. There are two. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, all right.
We're just going to go with pair.
That's fine. He's not sure if the driver is referring to himself or the pair of oxen, if they are called Fuddy and Duddy. And this same fuddy-duddy pops up again in this work later on in the work, but you only get one quote from that one.
Sure.
American English Idioms in the News has an entry from 1875, New Gloucester Sentinel, quoting the remarks of an Alfred Haskell of Portland, Maine. There was an old gentleman who lived in a house which sat upon the spot where Captain Cutter's house now stands. He went by the not very classical name of Old Fuddy-Duddy. His business was repairing carriages.
This is odd.
He's referring to another. This is a story he's recanting about his youth about another gentleman. He's a young man talking. I mean, he's an older man talking about his youth. There was an older gentleman who lived in a house near him.
But the business was still called the Old Fuddy Duddy.
Yeah, wagons and sleighs repaired in the next barn by Old Fuddy Duddy was the sign on the wall.
Yeah, so that guy was calling himself it.
Right.
So he didn't think of it as a bad thing.
No.
Right.
No, this was just, I'm just saying earlier, this was just a use.
Yeah, I'm just taking it in.
Yeah.
Trying to clarify. For the ride.
it seems like both, I spent a lot of time in Scotland this episode, and this is where we are as well for this one. You know, this one has more direct proportions, or, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
It relates more clearly than the last one where people were unwilling to specifically say this was it, but this one says more like, yeah, this is pretty much.
Okay.
Duddy was a Scottish term meaning ragged. And, you know, this relates to what we say, we use the word duds for clothes. You know,
yeah.
Still, it specifically referred duds did mean tattered clothes, but now we use those to mean any clothes. So actually, we use them to mean nice clothes, don't we? Like nice duds.
Yeah, it can. Yeah. And can dud be far from dude? But go on.
Yeah, I mean it can't. Dude, ragged guy. Yeah, I mean that. You know, it's a journey. Fud. Or fuddy was also a Scottish dialect term for the butt, buttocks, I read. And there's a little poem about the buttocks. Maybe I'll post that as well in the stuff.
Sure.
There's another possible path that follows a similar, you know, as how we see, like a sister way. The phrase duddy fuddial. I believe I couldn't see the pronunciation of fuddiel. It's F-U-D-D-I-E-L, which means a ragged fellow, which is also Scottish.
Mm.
So some folks say that the duddy fuddiel became inverted and changed, you know, into fuddy duddy. Because
yeah, that sounds like a fine proposition.
Yeah, no one knows. They're not going to say this is how it changed or why it changed or when it changed, but like, yeah, that could have happened. Makes sense. You know, we hear things, we switch them up.
Yeah. Plus alliteration.
Right, exactly. Kind of where we go. That's where it ends up, you know? No one is willing to say, so the closest that people will get is the rhyming reduplication that we see so much across our language, because we like to hear things and say things.
We
like sounds. Around the 19th century, American newspapers ran clips of fictional, quote, fictional wags called Fuddy and Duddy. A string of rather weak gags was printed in the Boston Evening Transcript. Yeah, it's like their early cartoons, essentially. You know, just like two people named Fuddy and Duddy talking to one another in a single cell cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. After these are not the origins, obviously. But that's just kind of happening.
No, you like to do that. Hey, that's a fun.
It's a fun fuddy and duddy.
Brandy sounding, word. Yeah. I can just appropriate that.
It's, you know, they all kind of pop into the language around in the 19th century, you know, late 1870s, late 1800s, not late 1870s. You can get the word fud back. Even a little bit further, 1785, it means pubic hair.
Ah.
Also, the tail of a hare or rabbit. And then fuddle cap goes back to the 1600s, which is a drunkard, which doesn't really relate specifically, but the word fud was in it, so I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it could have carried through.
Fuddle cap, yeah, that's a person, yeah. And then in the 1900s, it looks like it was some kind of candy called Fuddy Duddy, like Fiddle Faddle, maybe. I didn't. I'm not saying it's like that. I'm just saying it was a candy, like a sweet.
I wonder what that was.
I don't know. I didn't write it down.
Fuddy Duddy. All right, go ahead. That.
Fun fact is, it seems that Elmer Fudd of the Looney Tunes fame did inherit his name from the idiom.
Oh, because, yeah.
Yeah.
He was kind of a...
Yeah, and that the phrase would have been in full swing by the time he was created.
Yeah, well, certainly.
Yeah.
Dude, you're not going to get the rabbit. Just just stay home and watch some television or something.
But, yeah, so the closest you're going to get to an answer is they're going to say it's rhyming reduplication. But it seems like these are strong origins for that reason and why they rhyme and why we put them together.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know what mine for the second half here of dudes is old coot.
Old coot. Nice.
Yeah. And old coot, man.
Mm-hmm. Old coot, man.
Wow. So it's short and sweet and has no solid creative etymology.
Mm.
It just is what it is. It became what it became a long time ago, and then that is it.
Here it is. Enjoy.
Although, in a lot of ways, well, let me just get to it.
Yeah.
First used in the 1700s here to refer to a harmless, simple person.
There you go.
All right?
All right.
So whether you're considered dim-witted or foolish, what have you, these are the kind of attributes an old coot has. Well, I guess, you know, and old, if you're
right, if you got the old part in there.
Yeah.
You young coot.
It's all the same thing. The problem lies only in that it seems pretty oddly arbitrary to me. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, what's that?
Because I'm a city guy. I don't know a lot of this here country stuff. Turns out this is a bird. And
okay.
I
also didn't know that.
Right? You didn't know a coot. And a coot, I guess people thought he looks kind of dumb. He walks by like nodding his head and stuff. Mm-hmm. I read all this about what the coot. So and maybe people considered the coot to be not particularly brainy as a bird. And sure. So if you were a sort of adult of a person, they called you a coot, and I guess more adults you ran into were older. I don't know. But but the thing about the coot is I watched some coots walking and you know, going on the water, how they go, you know?
Okay.
To see this head movement, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, a pigeon has a much more exaggerated bobbing than the coot, for one thing. For another thing, if a coot walked by me, I mean, that would be a weird situation.
Yeah. Get out of here, you old coot.
But he looks like a duck.
Okay.
Quacks like a duck. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But looks like a small duck to me.
Yeah.
Okay. His face or her face.
Any face.
Yeah. A coot face.
Coot face.
It's bill is a little, okay, it's a little different. And you go, okay, that's a different kind of bird than a duck or mallard or whatever. But if I just saw a coot or a family of coot, I wonder if it's coots.
I don't know.
On the water or whatever, I would say, well, that's some duck.
That's a duck.
I just don't know my ducks. That's some family of duck.
Yeah.
So, but my point was, the expression could have ended up, you old pigeon. I think if that nod bothered you and you thought that was not an intelligent thing for the bird to do, I don't really know why the pigeons got to walk like that, but they do. Coot does not demonstrate that exaggerated of a head nod to merit being called attention to.
Maybe it was the only bird they saw.
I mean, this is the 1700s. They had nothing else to do but like go out and get water and wood and look at birds. I guess there's lots of chores. You know, you didn't have any machines back then.
You got a full day. You have to figure out where feed yourself.
Anyway.
All right.
Coot has nothing else.
Just like it's an old duck-like bird.
Because someone in the 1700s decided it was, but we don't have it specifically documented somehow.
Someone wrote it down.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
But we know it was definable as far as back then as being, what did I say, a harmless, simple person.
Yeah.
Not unlike myself.
Yeah. Just trying to get through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like our show.
Yeah. We're harmless, simple shows.
But even in our harmless, simple state, we would like people to continue to write in more things. To where?
To Whole Nine Yards Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and then Whole Nine Yards Podcast on Facebook.
This is correct.
Yes.
And we'd get great joy out of that.
Yeah, if you... I don't have a specific question. I had one earlier, something about something. But
you know, no one really seems to respond to those sometimes.
Yeah, you know.
They just send in what they're thinking.
That's also great.
That's good, too.
Love the thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is it.
That is it.
We're out of this jerkwater town. I'm Jay.
And I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms. I went up and then I came down.
That's nice. Yeah. Nice little ride.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at wholenineyards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@wholenineyards.org. That's heyyou@wholenumber9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.